Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Amen. Hey, how's everybody doing? This is Cash. Cash Watts. Yes, you are. Oh, that's a sweet kiss. My doggies are going to be jealous at home. How many of you have ever received a puppy or a dog as a surprise? Raise your hand. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's pretty exciting, the joy that comes out that a dog or any kind of pet can be that can have that much effect on us. And this little puppy right here, you know, one of Laura's gifts is about special needs. And this puppy right here is a special needs puppy. You can't see it from there, but he only has one eye. Bless his heart. But he is so sweet. And puppies, dogs in general, but puppies, they do something to us. You know, you can be surprised, and it doesn't matter. You come up to him, you're seeing that's the cutest puppy you've ever seen. I mean, even more so than babies, when you see babies, newborns, it's like some babies are cute, but some babies aren't. But puppies, I mean, you can't help but think that a puppy is cute all the time. And puppies just bring about some serious emotions, right, Cash? Right? What you looking at? You know, when we come home, we have two rescues at home, Layla and Shiloh. Layla we've had for about 10, 11 years, and Shiloh, he's a couple years now, I guess. 3 years we've had him. But it never fails that when we come home, that they are filled with joy when we walk in the door. When Garrett came home from college Thursday and they hadn't seen him, it's like they physically have smiles on their face and their whole bodies are wagging. When Garrett walks in the door, it is amazing the joy that they have. But they instill a joy in us. I want you to see, I asked Grant to put this video together, and I want you to see this video for a second, and then we'll continue on.
Inside, okay?
Are you serious? It's a puppy!
That's good, puppy. That's your puppy. His name is Hampton. Merry Christmas. That's your puppy.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Hold him.
Puppy!
Oh, that's cute and just sweet.
Gracie, it's yours.
I'm crying.
goodness gracious. I was researching that all week, and I had to shut my door and put blinds over my windows because I was just boo-hooing all over the place trying to find the right material. And I guess I did, didn't I? And Grant put that together. Thank you, Grant, for making that happen. Oh, my goodness. But that is what joy is supposed to do to us. Puppies were a great example of that. People getting little dogs like the people who receive a puppy for Christmas or for their birthday or something, can't help yourself. That's what joy is about in our lives. It's about that, what's inside of us, that you can't help yourself. It's gonna come out. You pass that little pup around to everyone in the house and you don't stop there. You carry it, lead it around to the neighbor's house and say, look what I got, or come over and see. You drive to the relative's house or friend's house with the puppy, or you go to the store, or you take it to the salon, or you take it to the dentist. Well, maybe not the dentist, but I know some of you, and I've seen your dogs here. You got to take your dog with you because it brings so much joy to your life. Man, I'll tell you what, I wasn't prepared for all of that. Excuse me again. I'm going to go through boxes of tissues before Christmas is over, I'm telling you. But then those people want to grab their kids and their husband or their girlfriend or their boyfriend or whoever to share the joy, right? You have this inside of you which is bubbling over and you can't wait to share it. Nobody who has that much joy keeps it to themselves. It's shared. Joy is like puppies. Fortunately, it's not as hairy or doesn't make a mess like some of them do. But joy is boundless and uncontainable. Joy overflows. And you experience joy, you want to share it with someone else or as many people as you can. Joy bubbles over and it touches everyone that it comes in contact with. I mean, we just witnessed it, right? Unless you got a heart of stone, you know, you need to talk to Jesus about that. But joy is what we are celebrating here this third Sunday of Advent. If you've been journeying with us the past few weeks toward Christmas, you know that we've been celebrating these Sundays with the Advent and the lessons that come with them. And just a quick recap, if you haven't been here, Advent means coming or arrival, and the season is marked by expectation, by waiting, by anticipation, and by longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season, and it links the past, it links the present, and it links the future all together. Advent offers the opportunity for us to share in the longings of our ancestors, of the people who came before us. Advent looks back in celebration and a hope fulfilled in Christ's coming, while at the same time looking forward in a hopeful and eager anticipation of his second coming to reclaim his kingdom. During Advent, we wait both actively, assured, and hopeful. And each week, we focus on a different attribute that Jesus brought when he came as God with us. Because he brought us hope, and he brought us love, and a joy to count on. And in through that joy, because God is sovereign, we can rest and walk in life in peace until he comes back. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, he is the embodiment of these traits who have entered our world and fills us with them all. Today, though, is about joy. The joy Jesus brought is God with us, and the joy we should have as we live our lives in anticipation of his return. But it's not so that way, right? Pastor Aaron just got done sharing a testimony with us that he allowed things and circumstances to rob his joy. We're all the same. I've had it done to me. You've had it done to you. You may be walking in that right now where you've allowed something in your life to rob the joy of this time of the year. When we have joy, we can overcome many troubles in our lives when we have it. They may not disappear, but our joy helps us in the perspective of those troubles, right? And though the trouble still exists, joy can still overflow to other people. Father God, we love you so much and we thank you that you gave all. You gave us hope. You gave us love. You give us joy and you give us peace, and you've done that through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you for coming and being willing to give yourself up for that, to be the embodiment, the manifestation of God's love and his peace and his joy and his hope. Thank you for coming and doing what you did. We love you and we celebrate you today. It's in your name. Amen. You know, joy overcomes shame. Anybody ever been there? If you were here with us the first Sunday that we talked about Advent, you remember we talked about Zechariah. Luke 1 tells the story of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They were the parents of John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. You'll remember that in Scripture. The Messiah who was to come save people. In Luke 1, 13 and 15, Zechariah was a priest, he tells us, who received a visit from an angel. And the angel said this, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." What's important to know here was that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old when God imparted this promise to him. Elizabeth was beyond childbearing years, and the couple had never been able to have kids. So besides the shock from talking to an angel, Zechariah couldn't get over the fact that it was possible for his wife to have a baby. And as a result, his voice was taken away. You might say he was speechless. Now, Elizabeth had much joy in what God had done for her. But in her story, to understand her joy, we must also understand and know her pain. You see, for the ancient Jews, children were a tremendous blessing. In Psalm 127, it tells us, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." Children back then allowed a family to pass on the name and heritage. They provided more hands to handle the daily task of life or expand their ability to forge a livelihood through their trade or the craft. And many times the trade of the father or the mother was passed down to the children and it was continued on. But most importantly, children were viewed as a gift from God and a sign of God's favor. Oh, we got one amen. Nobody else has kids, amen in that? Okay. To be childless then was a source of great frustration, of sorrow, and of shame. And Elizabeth would have known this despair for years. She most likely would have married Zechariah when she was a young teenager, and the couple would have hoped right away to have children. Elizabeth probably would have imagined what it would be like to have a home filled with kids. She would have dreamed of holding her own baby. She might have made lists of names in her mind, drawing from the family names that had been passed down traditionally in their family, down through the family lines. And I would guess many of you did the same things. I know that me and Charla did when we were talking about having kids or we got pregnant with our first child. And, you know, you start thinking, the book of names, the book of names, the book of names. You start thinking about what you're going to call your children and how you're going to take care of them and what's going to happen. Many of us have been in the same place that Elizabeth was. At first, Elizabeth might have dismissed the lack of pregnancy. Maybe the timing just wasn't right to conceive. Or maybe, like many of you in this room have probably experienced, there was a pregnancy. Joy and hope would have leaped in Elizabeth's heart when she realized that a new embryo had sprung to life in her womb. Maybe she even told people that she was pregnant, but then something happened and there was a miscarriage. While physically hard and emotionally painful, Elizabeth might have dismissed the first one or two as a fluke, but as time passed with each pregnancy, it came to an end prematurely. Who knows how long it took, though? But gradually, year after year, Elizabeth's hope would have slowly died. And she came to terms with the fact that something was wrong, and she could not have a child. At that point, the social stigma would have stuck back in that time. Barren, they called her. It became a shameful, impermanent mark for Elizabeth. Elizabeth would have grieved over the loss of ever being a mother. She would have accepted the loss of the status that came in her culture from bearing children. She has no children, so she is less. She would never be considered worthy or esteemed as a woman by the other women. She accepted her fate as a failure in the eyes of her society. Still, Elizabeth must have known some happiness, right? As well, she would have been deeply involved in her community life, for Zechariah was a priest, and they were there to minister to the community. And though she carried her emotional burden very deep, like I'm sure that maybe some of you have, she and Zechariah remained faithful to God. Luke 1:6 describes it like this: both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. She didn't let her circumstances deter her from her ultimate purpose, giving worship and praise and service to God Almighty. This is how they plan to live out the rest of their old age, serving God and the people around them. Wow, what a testimony, right? And then God came. Zechariah at work in the temple, the angel Gabriel shows himself up out of the blue with that miraculous message. Zechariah couldn't even tell his wife what the angel had said. He would have had to either write it out, Elizabeth, if she could even read, or use signs and gestures to give his wife the news. I bet Elizabeth must have thought she was getting the wrong message at first. It seemed too good to be true. Could she open her heart to the possibility of hoping and waiting and praying for so long, only to be let down again and again and again? We know that Elizabeth did get pregnant because Scripture tells us, just as the Lord had promised and recorded in Luke 1:25. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Elizabeth spent the first 5 months of her pregnancy in seclusion. Scripture doesn't tell us why. We can only speculate for the reasons why she stayed away. But what we do know is in her sixth month of pregnancy, Elizabeth experienced a deep encounter with joy. With a sudden end to her silence and seclusion, Elizabeth's joys overflowed. We discussed last week about Mary, and she left her home shortly after delivering the news to Joseph that she was pregnant. But shortly after her own angelic visit, she went to stay with her relative Elizabeth for 3 months. As soon as she arrived, Luke tells us that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was overjoyed. And in Luke 1:42 through 45, it tells us that she greeted Mary this way. And we read this last week, but I want to read it again. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The puppy was out of the box. Joy was overflowing. And true to its nature, joy was contagious. Already Emmanuel, God with us, was unleashing joy on earth, and he hadn't even been born yet. Already his joy began rippling outward for the hope that was coming. When Elizabeth gave birth to John 3 months later, the joy of her miracle spread through the village and in her family. And Luke 1:57 says this: "Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy." And guess what they did? They shared in her joy. They rejoiced with her. There was no greater joy than a mother holding her newborn child. For Elizabeth, the joy must have been especially overwhelming, right? She was experiencing a miracle, and it was a miracle that healed a lifetime of hurt, of pain, of disrespect, and of shame. But it didn't come from her. It came from an outside source. It came from the Lord. It came from God, His faithfulness, His promises fulfilled, His provision. What would you and I give to know such joy? To see the scars of shame of our life washed away so dramatically. This is the joy that was brought into our world by Jesus, by God with us. The Apostle Peter wrote this in 1 Peter, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. An inexpressible and glorious joy. That joy runs much deeper than happiness. We love to be happy, right? Who doesn't like to be happy? I mean, nobody wants to be Eeyore, right? We want happiness in our life. Well, some of us are comfortable in that place, but that's not where God intended for us to live. We love to feel good, but happiness comes and goes as the circumstances around us change by the hour, by the minute. Happiness can come from many things: birthday parties, balloons, your favorite song, an encouraging message from a friend, winning the big game, a delicious meal. These are good and enjoyable things to be savored and enjoyed for sure, but all are temporary. Here and then gone, again and again and again. And pursuing happiness for the sake of happiness can be shallow and a self-centered pursuit. I do it because it makes me happy. But then when you don't have it, then you're unhappy. Joy includes happiness, but it runs much, much deeper. Joy permeates our soul. In our lives, the stuff of joy looks like the birth of your child, your wedding day, being declared free of cancer for good, your loved one coming out of a coma and no brain damage. There are things that are associated with joy that are uncontainable. Joy is rooted in gratitude, but it runs deeper. It's rooted in meaning and hope fulfilled, especially when it is based on a relationship by our Creator, by the one who gave us breath. Joy comes from God with us. Jesus is the source of our joy. With his life and the promise of eternal life beyond this world, we find the deep kind of joy that fills us no matter the pain, no matter what we face in this earth and on this earth. As Jesus explained to his disciples about his coming death and resurrection in John 16, he said this, "So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." No one will take away your joy, because that kind of joy defies our circumstances. That kind of joy looks at our circumstances, looks at our condition, looks at our perspective, and says, "You won't overcome me. I have the joy of the Lord. I don't care what my needs are, what my troubles are, what my trials are, because I have the joy of my salvation, and it's Jesus, his Spirit lives in me." Happiness comes and goes with positive events or experiences. Joy flows deep in the face of challenge and hardship or suffering. Joy drawn from Jesus, God with us, sees the big picture beyond the immediate pain. James 1 tells us this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You see, having joy in the face of all of these things helps us grow and get to our full maturity. God wants us to give us everything, but he's not just going to hand it to us. He wants us to grow into it. Joy understands that there is more than meets the eye, that God is at work always, even in the tough stuff of life, and that eventually God will make everything right and healed and whole, including you and me. Because of that, we can experience joy in the here and now. No matter how bad the here and now looks for some of us. So what are the circumstances that you're facing right now as we journey towards Christmas? What are the situations that are stealing your joy? Our brother Aaron just shared a testimony about his. You may have a testimony too. Something that is stealing your joy. Maybe it did and maybe you've overcome it, but maybe it's stealing your joy right now. Maybe you're allowing that circumstance to take away the true meaning of what this season is about. You may not experience a miracle as clear as Elizabeth, but in Advent and in Christmas, there's a miracle for all of us. The miracle of God come to earth to be with us, to heal us, to forgive us, to redeem us, and restore our pain, to turn it into good. This is a cause for joy even in our darkest of days. There was a message of the angel long ago announcing the arrival of Christ to some terrified shepherds outside of Bethlehem. And that angel said to them, the first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Jesus come to be God with us has brought us joy no matter what we are facing. But joy can be a choice as well. It has to be a choice sometimes. And I'd like to look at one more aspect of this joy and apply it to our Advent journey. The fact that joy can be a choice and joy can be an action. Remember when Mary showed up at Elizabeth's house? Elizabeth was overcome with joy, which spread to Mary. In Luke 1:46 and 48, it says, Mary's expression back to Elizabeth, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." These are important words, with a key word becoming rejoices. It's an active form of joy, the verb, and this is Mary choosing and embracing joy in this role she had been given by God. She didn't have to, but her words bear witness to her choice in light of what she had been through and what, unknown to her, was about to happen to her. Mary could have looked at her situation and thought, "I didn't ask to be the mother of God. I didn't ask to be the mother of God's son." She could have taken a step back and said, "I reject this." But she made a choice and said, "The Lord has blessed me to be able to do this." What an honor. Have any of you ever said that about your trials? "Lord, you must consider me worthy to bless me with this trial, with this trouble. Lord, you must think that I have something in me that can handle this. And Lord, I can't wait to see what it is. Because I know with your strength, with your provision, it will come to pass. And Lord, I'm just humbled to be your servant and be your tool or be your vessel in this time. Please sustain me. Please protect me. Please give me all that I need to walk this road." We too have our own situations and seasons of troubles and trials, and we can do the same. We can choose joy, we can rejoice, we can embrace the miracle of God with us and align our vision with the work He is doing in and through us. Do you know anyone who's like that? I do. I know people who walk in this building on a regular basis, or I meet, and they have the joy of the Lord no matter what the circumstances. Cheryl, Lee, Kathy, Ray, John, and I can go on and on and on. When I see these people, I feel joy when I'm with them. I see joy in them no matter what and regardless of the circumstances at hand. And the Bible is filled with verses exhorting and encouraging people to rejoice. Philippians 4 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again." Rejoice. Oh, very good. Right on it. Romans 12 tells us, rejoice in our confident hope. I love this version. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Church, let us choose to make this a season of joy. Regardless of our present circumstances, let's rejoice as we wait for the arrival of Christ, and let's celebrate his birth with joy. God is with us, and so joy is with us, a joy that flows deep within our spirits and outward because our King, our Savior, is with us, always loving, always working in the midst of any hardship we will face. So if that joy is in you, there are people that need to see that joy overflowing out of you. And you can have one of those invitation cards right in your hand and say, see, the joy of the Lord is in me, and I want you to experience it too. I need you to come with me someplace. Invite them to Christmas Eve service. Let them come and let's celebrate together the joy, the hope, the peace, the love. Let's celebrate Jesus together. Let me close with this scripture out of Psalm 5. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them that those who love your name may rejoice in you. I would ask you to ask yourself, do you love Jesus? Not just his name. Do you love Jesus? He came for you. He came for me. The good news is that he came, he lived, he died, was buried, and he rose again. That's the complete good news. That's the whole story. It doesn't stop at the cross. And that's what people need to hear. That's where hope comes from. That's where love is proven. That's where the joy can bubble in our hearts. And then by knowing that, we can have a peace to walk this world in trial and in trouble and in tribulation and still maintain the joy of the Lord because he lives in us. And other people need to know that. That's the good news for you and for me. The band's going to play some music. And this part of our worship time is that which we remember what Jesus did for us, the complete story. And be thankful, be full of gratitude, be full of joy, because he did it and wanted to do it. Nobody took his life. He gave it up. He did it for you and me. And if you were the only person, he still would have done it. Know that. Know and believe that. As the band plays, you're going to have a time that you can come. And if you're a believer, a follower of Christ, this communion is for you. This cup that represents his blood and this bread that represents his body that he gave willingly for you and me. But without it, we can't know God. He's the only way, the truth, and the life to come to the Father. And if you sit here today and that's who you are, then you celebrate this. There are two tables in front, two tables in back. Let me have a word of prayer and then you're free to go and meditate. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your gift. Your son, your one and only son. Your word says that you gave your one and only son that whosoever believes in you should not perish but have everlasting life. You loved us first. You loved us best. You love us in spite of us. You love us always, God. No matter how far we've gone, no matter if we reject you, Lord, if we despise you, your love is still the same yesterday, today, and forever because you wish that all would come to know you, God, that they would all come to know your son, Jesus. So, Father, we celebrate him right now. We remember what he did. And, Jesus, thank you for choosing to give up your life for us because we couldn't do it. So we celebrate you and we remember that. Lord, bless this communion to your glory. And to your honor and to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Two tables in the back, two tables up front. Come as you're ready.
Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for the joy that you've given us. I pray over my friends. May they rejoice. May they find reason to rejoice in every area of their lives this week. And may that joy be contagious to the people around them. May they be blessed with your peace and let it guard their hearts and minds in you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week.